It's 9:05 at Q92 Radio. Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lacaparo Valley Coaches Show. Dick Newman bringing you the report again. The control panel, and we got kind of remodeling going on here in the studios, but we're in tight quarters, but we'll get through this. Well, let's go through some scores in the last couple evenings. On Thursday, I think that more football games throughout the state on Thursday than last night, and then there's no games today, but of course the game that you heard Paul Ramo live in Winthrop, it was. Eagles got beat 44-6, and we'll be talking with Tony Smith here after all the scores. Mineota all over Minnesota Valley Lutheran 42-7. Russell Tyler Ruthen shut out YME 39-0. Tracy Milroy Ballatin in a close game over McRae 16-8. Minnewaska over Morris Area 48-14. Sleepy Eye St. Mary's over Bold 22-14. Maple Lake, that's quite a story there for Maple Lake. Kind of a dubious honor, had lost 49 games in a row. Somebody else in the state had done that. Had they lost last night, they would have lost 50 games in a row and had the dubious honor of a high school record there, but they're still sharing it with somebody else. But they won 30-24 over Monaga. Melrose over Montevideo, 42-6. Tracy Milroy Ballatin, I mentioned, beat McRae. RTR over YME, 39-0. Warren over Alvarado Oslo, 32, Ortonville, nothing. Then some games last night. I was up in Annandale to watch my grandson. They defeated Little Falls 54-6, and my grandson is a junior. He's on special teams and caught a couple passes. Didn't score, but caught a couple passes, and they rolled over Little Falls. Dawson Boyd in the game that Paul Ramo broadcast last night over a very good Murray County Central team, 7-0. The only score was in the first period, first quarter, and then a defensive battle after that. Springfield defeated Camby 68-7, and then our next week's opponent, Lakeview, all over Medelia, 70-8. So that's the scores from last night. Talking now with Tony Smith. And Tony, tough one Thursday night.
Yeah, you know, it was a beautiful night. Nice 2-hour drive to east central Minnesota, and got there. Nice field, nice playing conditions, and we really got off to a very good start. They took the opening kickoff, and they had to punt, and they snapped it over the punter's head, and we had ourselves some nice field position, and we had a couple of plays, and then a pass interference. Grant Bierke tried to hit Jax Wells in the end zone, only there was a pass interference, so we got a first down on that. And then I believe on the second play then, after the penalty, we had a fumble. And we ended up actually having five turnovers on the night. You know, GFW had four, but we had five. And so, you know, that was an opportunity lost for us. And it got to the second quarter, and we put a really nice drive together. Mixing in a little pass with the heavy run that we're doing this year, and we were able to pitch to the Grant was able to pitch it to Gavin Mortensen for 17-yard touchdown, and things were really looking good. And there wasn't a lot of time left on the clock, but we were able to score in the second quarter there. And so we're up 6-0. The 2-point attempt failed. And then we actually got a turnover again, kind of deep into their territory, and had turned it over on downs. I believe we were on their like 11 or 12, and did not get into the end zone. And so they had the ball with roughly 40 seconds to go, and they were able to put a drive together. And with 4 seconds to go, they threw a pass. They didn't throw many. Excuse me. They didn't throw many on the night. But they were able to hit the kid. Actually, he was running right down the center of the field. He reached over his head like a center fielder, like Willie Mays did, and kind of tapped it to himself and caught it. It was a great catch by their player, and they were able to score. So at halftime, it was 8-6. And unfortunately, on that series, we lost Grant Bierke, who was playing linebacker and quarterback for us. To a leg injury. Found out yesterday that his leg down by the ankle is broken, so he is will be out the rest of the year. And we also lost Gabe Lowry for a period of time as well there on that drive. So the second half, as we were kind of sitting there at halftime wondering, okay, what are our options? What are our possibilities as far as a quarterback position goes, and considering we're running the option and quarterback's got to be the one that kind of drives the bus, so to speak. We turned to Jackson Fernolds. He'd been playing the JV quarterback reps, had been doing all of camp. And ironically enough, you know, we were looking for a quarterback for that group, and he let me know. He goes, I'm interested in being the quarterback for the JV this year. And I said, you know what, that's great, Jackson, and I thank you very much for stepping up and helping us out where we're needed. And just before kickoff in the second half, you know, we ran our plays to just kind of get him some center snaps, and just before the we went out because we were going to receive the opening kick in the second half, I said, I don't think when you told me that you wanted to be a quarterback for the JV that you, when you woke up today, that you would be playing in this varsity football game tonight now. And so we had a good laugh about it, and hopefully just to kind of ease the nerves. And you know, he went in there, and we put him in a difficult position, and proud of how he, you know, it wasn't all great, obviously. We had some turnovers in the second half, and one of the things he had mentioned to me was just how fast it was coming. And I said, I get that. And, you know, we need 10 other guys to step up and to help him out and make his job a little easier. And, you know, like I said, I was proud of how he navigated his way through that. I'm sure his heart was racing, you know, 1,000 beats a minute. But, you know, the second half then, without Grant and without Gabe anchoring the defense, they then were able to really start running the football, and they put up 22 points in the third quarter, and again 14 in the fourth. And so, you know, we'll regroup here. I told them at the end, you know, I said I was proud of the way that the group was picking up and responding to each other and helping each other out. And you go out for sports to compete and wanting to win, and sometimes there's just some other lessons to be learned. Obviously, the resiliency. We're now finished one game and we're on our third quarterback. But you know, that's you can view it as woe is us, or you can view it as an opportunity for other kids to get experience. And you know, that's I guess how I'm going to approach it. As it's just another opportunity. We got to coach up. We got to get the kids that are in their places to really try to excel and do their job as best they can. Stat wise, I'm finishing up stats, which here's a kind of a shameless plug. If anybody's interested in doing stats for the football season, please let me know. I could use a couple of statisticians. But you know, I'm still finishing those up. But I know too many turnovers. You know, they had four, we had five. And that was kind of a backbreaker. But, you know, the first half looked good. The second half, there were times, I thought at times the offensive line did a nice job. Jace DeLean, Gavin Mortensen did a nice job running the ball. And so, you know, it's going to, with what do we have to start the year here? 30 kids, 31. You know, it's going to be opportunities, and there's going to be some learning and some growing pains, and we just got to figure it out.
Okay, with no stats, other than mentioning, you know, you don't have the tackles or anything like that, but the effort was there. You can't ask for anything more than the effort, Tony.
No, and I thought very much so. The group played hard. We just need to continue to work and execute on the things that we're been working on for 3 weeks here. Some of that's, you know, we gotta understand that this is now going into week four. We've been running the same stuff. We just need to stay consistent and stay to the rules, and then on defensively, you know, do your job, read your key, stay in your spot, and try not to do too much. And you know, when you take a look at a good football team, offense, defense, special teams, that's what it is. It's one guy doing his job to the best of his ability, not trying to do two or three other people's jobs. And when that happens, then good things usually come about.
And you've got a number of players that go both ways. I think your conditioning was fine, and you didn't have too many cramp up and things like that. It was a beautiful night, but still, in the going both ways, the cramps could happen.
Yeah, we did put a special emphasis this camp on conditioning, and not to the guys' favor, obviously, but they truly did see those things happening even in the scrimmage. And then the other night, it was a little warm, but not too warm, and we were in good shape, and I continue to think that will be the case going forward.
Okay. Well, your next week's opponent, when we went through the scores, won very handily.
Yeah, we actually saw them at the Dakota State football camp, and so we have a little bit of an idea that they were going to have a pretty good year. I know Medelia, this is their first year now up in 11-man. They had been 9-man for a number of years. And so I was watching that game a little bit last night, and then also the Dawson MCC game as well on a different computer screen. I was watching both. But, yeah, they had a lot of firepower last night compared to Medelia. Nothing different, nothing new of what they've done in the past. It's just it comes down to that execution piece.
All right. Well, your other teams will be in action next week as well.
Yeah, actually the JV has a week off. They scrimmaged last Saturday, like we did, but then they also scrimmaged YME on Monday last week. So they will not have anything. And considering a couple of our injuries, it's probably a good idea to give us some more practice time. And the junior high, they are set to play on Tuesday. It escapes me on who they're playing, but I believe they play on Tuesday afternoon. They're off to a nice start. They've had a couple of scrimmages. They're playing Border West on Tuesday. They've had a couple of scrimmages, decent numbers. I believe we're around 27 or 28 down in the junior high. Majority of them are eighth graders, but still they've had essentially four scrimmages on those two events, so now they'll get a fresh game with Border West here on Tuesday.
Okay, well, your game with Lakeview is at home on Friday night.
Yeah.
In an earlier time, too, I think.
Yeah, that was a conversation. I don't know and to be honest with you, I haven't heard from Zach if that's going to be the case. I know there was a conversation at one point about starting that earlier because of the fair. I'm not sure if that has taken place. But no. Okay, it does say 6 o'clock. Okay. And then, yeah, so we'll get them at home. The field is in great condition, considering all of the Mother Nature's water she's given us this summer. It's in very good condition. And so, yeah, we have a couple of games at home here, Friday night against Lakeview and then the following Friday night against Dawson.
All right, Tony. Well, thanks for the report this morning. Keep up the work. Keep those kids trying their hearts out. And, you know, we can't play the game for them and learning experience for them. So best of luck on Friday night.
Thank you. And we'll, you know, the resiliency has got to be there.
Yep. Tony Smith on football. We'll take this break, and I think John Cherb's in the studio talking cross-country after this.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling Ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Let's see what Kip Stender has on special this week at the Country Butcher in downtown Dawson. It's the end of summer special at the Country Butcher. Pre-order 20-pound meat bundles, 10% off. Summer's winding down, but the grill doesn't have to. Plan ahead and make the most of these end-of-season deals. 20-pound meat bundles, 10% off at the Country Butcher in Dawson.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
If you're looking for a seed partner that makes choice their number one priority, it's time to make a change for the better with AP Select. With a true passion for farming and a desire to help growers prosper beyond their expectations, AP Select brings excitement, pride, and innovative thinking to the seed industry. You have a choice. Make it count. Visit APselect.com. AP Select. Better by choice.
For all your AgriPartner product needs, contact Ryan Smith Seeds at 320-226-1079. That's 320-226-1079. Ryan Smith Seeds.
Back here in the studio, talking cross country with John Cherb. Normally, on Monday, you would have that opening season event at Morris, but their golf course is really, really underwater. A lot of hills, and at the bottom of the hills, there's a lake or a real wet spot. So a couple of new teams this year. New London Spicer normally, I think, was at Morris, but they asked if they could come over and run on Thursday night at Appleton. John said, well, the more the merrier. So they're a good team. They're a class above us, and at least one, and they did a nice job, especially in the girls. But I thought your kids ran well. The boys kind of surprised me.
So, yeah, it's it was unfortunate. I talked to Dale at Morris and a little bit how tough the course was up there, and it was not good because basically their start line and finish line was completely flooded out, and still it's probably dry, but there's nothing left there to grow, and there just isn't. See, that's tough that way. Then plus ours, you know, we had to reevaluate, and you know, we're not like other sports where the dimensions are always set easy automatically for you. We had to basically rearrange our route, and our route got changed a lot. I know Conover and I were running through the golf course at about 9:30 Wednesday night, trying to find distance because we took the regular course and we had to do our cut to slide. We're 130 meters long on the 5K course, and Conover and I going. I said, first of all, I said my kids will kill me anyways. They'll kill us if we run that long. So we had to go back and back and back, and we're rolling 9:30. I mean, we're trying to avoid a tree here and everything, and pitch dark. Luckily, the golf cart we had lights on it, but, you know, weren't the big spotlights, but they were enough to see enough in front of you. But rolling through that, then finally got it down. So we had to really to revamp that, and took a lot of time, and that's the things you look at. But, you know, I thought our kids had some really nice performances. A lot of it, you know, we're young in a lot of spots and inexperienced, and I thought we ran well. And, you know, it's like I told the kids, some really good races, some average races, and a lot of races to start from. And that's what we're again, this is the first race to see. It's not how you start your season, it's how you end your season. That's right. What we look at. So, you know, like I said, it was good. It was, you know, nine teams in. Spicer has a lot of kids. And, but again, it's just, and Kaiser Freetley, one of our former runners, is assistant coaching there. So he had got a hold of me and asked if they could sneak in if they couldn't go to Morris. And I said, yeah, come on in. I said, we'll just take where. I said, I'm looking for times and competing against people. I don't care, you know, just where we're at, just what are we conditioning-wise. And so they came in. So, you know, I'm going to kind of bounce a little bit here with different races I go. I'm going to start off with the JV boys. JV boys, we had a couple JV boys in there. And Aaron Will looked very well. He had a really nice race. He was patient early and got after it. And he ended up finishing ninth. That was a 4K course, and he went 17:28. Then we had Eddie Felton, our other young man there. Again, both those guys are ninth graders. So, you know, we got a very nice ninth grade class we've been talking about last week. Eddie looked good early, probably bit off more than he could chew the first part of the race, paid for it the second half. But, again, he still finished 14th. He was 18:03. So, again, good experience for those guys to go on. And like I said, you like the way that they kind of excelled a little bit with what they did. JV girls. Morgan Anderson was our lone runner in there. And Morgan, look, again, we've got to watch with her just because, again, she's more of that sprinter jumper for us in track, and she just, the conditioning part, she enjoys being around. And she had a really nice race. I thought she looked very comfortable in there. She finished fifth in a 4K course also. She went 21:15. So, again, just you like the way that she competes out there, and that's all you can ask. And like I said, that was really good what she did. And like I said, I liked that and how she worked. And so we kind of worked through that. And then going into the varsity races, you know, we didn't know what we were going to see in there. Because, again, if you look at what we're putting together, the boys are putting together, rebuilt the whole team, basically. You look at the girls. Girls are solid. You know, again, we still have some kids that aren't sure where they want to fit into the program a little bit there. But girls-wise, you know, we knew Nolan Spicer's girls were going to be tough. They returned their top two horses on the front side. So they knew that was going to be a pretty much, and then they were deep enough in the backside. But Bryn Glegge was our top runner. She's fighting sports asthma, so she's got an inhaler, and the warmth, what we had, and that bright sun on Thursday didn't help her at all. Looked very good through the first mile, was in second and third place where we wanted her. We didn't want her going with the front girl, and just sat there. Then all of a sudden, the asthma started kicking a little bit of her, and I looked at her at the mile and a half mark. I said, let's be done. I said, just, you know, because, again, if we lose this battle, who cares? It's, you know, we're going to try to win the war and move on that way, as an old saying goes. And she looked at me and she says, I'm going to go. And I said, then you got to be smart. If you have to back off, you back off. And just to make sure because it's like the idea of you're out there running normally and you get to the first mile. Now they put a straw in your mouth. Now you got to breathe through the straw. And yeah. I don't care who you are. You're not going to be able to do that. No. But so she, you know, I thought she ran really well to finish. She was seventh overall. I know, disappointed with 22:22. Her sister Chloe was 11th, and she ended up finishing at 23:06. Good. You know, again, I know she wasn't happy with it a little bit too, but again, you like that when you see kids aren't happy with their performance. That tells you they know they can do better. They just got to have a little more focus, a little bit. And like I said, just that whole thing of not our first race. That's our first race. Don't get anything under your belt. Jumping in, going. Sadie Rosendahl was 15th. I thought Sadie looked really, really good through the race. And she went 24:53. And then we had Talia Hursum was 16th, right behind her. And she was at 24:54. And then we had Harper Grunholz was in 17th at 25:03. Laura Schreier was 13th at 24:25. 23-37. But again, you know, our five, that's a decent five where we're at. And those five will get better as we go. And that's what you look at. Micaiah Poost was 20. What's that? We went 5K. See, yep, we went 5, and see, someone asked me why was it, you know, last year we went 4K, and like the one map was out there was a varsity 4K. Well, we've always been racing on Monday, then turn around race on Thursday, and I'm always worried about the girls just with as young as we are. I don't want to beat their legs up at all. So I moved back to a 5K just because it's our first race. Let's just find out where we're at 5K mark. And, you know, it is, again, that's the thing how you handle it. But again, some of the girls are like, well, can you take out the hill at the Appleton Golf Course? I said, run it twice, run it once. And I looked at it and tried to look at some reevaluation. I said, can't do it. I said, you're just going to suck it up and go. I said, I'd rather run the Appleton Golf Course hill twice than the Morris hill twice. And they both looked, the other girls looked at me and said, yeah, that's a good, true. I would agree with you 100% there. So, and that's what you look at. So, you know, again, it's how you handle every course, and that's the way it is. And again, we looked at, didn't work at all. But Micaiah Poost was 20th, and she was 25-32. Alyssa Sawinski was 26th. She was at 26-17, and then Shea Bothan was 33rd and 29-46. And Shea really had a tough race. And that's, again, you have your tough, your build. And I heard talk to her a little bit afterwards. I just said, hey, you got something on your belt. What didn't go wrong? Maybe you didn't eat well. Maybe, again, the mental part, you didn't prepare yourself. And that's just the way it is. Scoring-wise, Spicer won it with 17. Sound program. Again, just it's something I think, you know, over time, if our kids are willing to go another level up, I think we can get a little closer to them. We just don't have the horses like they've got to basically beat them. But, again, we could at least close the gap being very competitive. Then Monty was right behind us, and they were with 58. So, you know, I thought the girls did well. Again, I guess we've got to do some things to make ourselves a little better on it, and that will come. And again, how it goes, we'll just see what we do, and that's all you can ask. All right, let's see. Varsity boys kind of moved into there a little bit there, and they were, you know, like I said, we're rebuilding. Our varsity boys are rebuilding, and that's, again, you're running, like we ran five kids only, because I had two kids gone. I had one senior gone. He was getting ready for basic training for National Guard, where they have that physical test and everything else, and unfortunately it was on that Thursday when we have our meet, and I used to, that's the way it goes, and you compete with that. And so we're missing him, and then one of our other ninth grade boys is, he could have ran if he needed to, but he's got some soreness in the knees a little bit. I don't like that. I know he talked about he's a hockey player, and he took a little beating last year on his knee when he went down wrong on it. And so we're just kind of being cautious on him. I think we'll get another week out of him. He's gotten some running into we practiced Friday morning, looked good there Friday morning, so he's coming along. We'll see where he goes. So, again, like I said, so we're rebuilding what we ran. Tanner Callis was our top runner. He was fifth overall. I thought Tanner ran really well. He's had issues in the past where he get out way too hot and pay for it at the end. And this one, he was patient early, kind of caught himself into where he needed to be. And I think that's just with seasoning, because last year he was a rookie, first time ever out for cross country, and that changed a lot. But to finish fifth overall, I think that was a very good mark for him on the build off 19-16. Get Colin Rosendahl, our young ninth grader, he was seventh. He ended up finishing at 19-27. Matthew Bothan, our other ninth grader. Matthew does have experience in varsity, but he finished ninth, and he was at 20-04. And then we had Landon Keeman. He was at 16th, 20-39. And then we had Kentaro Sorrell, our other ninth grader. He was 23rd at 21-10. So really, if you look, that was our five. You know, three of them are ninth graders. That's a nice score where we placed. I thought we ran really well in that. Scoring-wise, it just shows it. We were, you know, Monty won it with 48. They've got a lot of their horses returning, and we're kind of building around. But they were 48. We were at 52 in second. So, like, 4 points out, a couple spots here and there, we're in the thick of things. Newland Spicer was third at 69. Benson Camus at 71. Bold at 50 at 129 in fifth. And YME was in sixth at 151. So, again, those guys just continue to keep working. We'll be fine. Again, we're just, like I always said, you're going to have your ups and downs, and that's all you can look at. And again, you're going to kind of go and do what you can, and what happens, happens. And we'll just kind of build as we go. And the other two races left are junior high boys. Again, our junior high kids, they look really, really scared, as I would like to say, because both boys and girls, they were very timid. Their start of the race was back farther than they should be. I told them, do you want to pass 20,000 kids, or do you want to be up there in front so you don't have to pass so many and work so hard? And they said, yeah. That's learning, man. That's the fun part of it. On our boys, our top runner was Uriah Speck. He was 16th. He ended up winning a going time at 10:47. That was about 2,400 meters. I think it was just a little hair under. And then also then our other one was Landon Scullerud. He was 30th. And he was at 13:37. And Landon just slowly is getting better with time, and that's the things you can ask. And you got like, because I talked to him again, his first day of practice, he had to probably walk a bunch of times as he was getting his mile run in. And with running a mile and a half, he goes, I did not stop the whole run. I said, that's good. And that's what we're looking at doing is getting you stronger. And then that's what we look at as an improvement with these kids as we go. So I thought, again, he looked really good with that. And like I said, that's just kind of the fun part of it. So that was our two in the junior high. Then in the junior high girls, a lot of girls. We got a lot of really junior high, a lot of good junior high girls. Again, a lot of energy, but again, also a lot of not sure what's going on. But you got to like how they're working. Emerson Erdman was our top runner. She was 13th. She was time of 11:53. Then we had Cambry Larson. She was 17th, and she was at 12:15. And then we had Chelsea Clark, which I apologize. Last time I called her Tayden's sister. I couldn't remember Chelsea's first name last time. And so I told her I'd make up for that of that little oops on my part. And then, but Chelsea looked very good again. She was very timid. She had a lot left coming in. She was at 12:29. And then Skylar Stock was 21st. She was at 12:44. Then we had Ainsley Grunholz. She was at 27th at 13:52. Macy Clavin was 30th. And she was at 14:03. And then we had Cora Nelson at 33rd, and she was at 17:35. So, again, nice to see what we can do with it. Girls end up finishing fourth for junior high, which is nice when you can score a girls' junior high meet, and that's fun. So, again, I thought the kids ran well. Again, it's a good starting. So, you know, there's some older kids that weren't happy. But, again, like I told them, I said, what do you want to do about it? You want to continue? You want to work? Do you want to figure out what we can do? Mental preparation, first week of school, a lot of things going on. You just don't know in a young kid's life. But I thought they went after things and did some nice things. So, but I like to thank Amplin Golf Course for allowing us, you know, to have it there, to rearrange. I mean, to change the course. You know, we're trying to stay out of there, the areas where we want to damage the course, and just. But allowing us to spend some time out there to really work, because Conover and I, this is probably one of the first times we put a lot of really time to get this set. But we wanted to have a course that was decent for the kids to compete in, that was legit. Didn't want to just all of a sudden just throw some flags here and there. We would try to still work the contour and land. I like to finish the Appleton, the start of the Appleton golf course and the finish. You get that nice come around the curl and get in. I think it's a great finish to look at. So it was a good course, but I'd like to thank them for allowing us to really put together a meet.
Okay. What's coming up on your schedule?
Well, traditionally, we've always had this week off with County Fair. I always like to try to avoid County Fair. I want these kids that are in 4-H and showing everything. I want them to do that, and that's why I always try to avoid it. Unfortunately, Benson moved theirs from October to this week, which an opening it worked for us. So we go to Benson on Thursday. I'm not 100% for sure. We'll go up there. That'll be a good course. It's not real that challenging. It's more of a flatter course. And the footing's decent up there, so like I said, it'll be a good one for us to go up there. And we'll see a bunch of schools we haven't seen yet. It's just, again, we just want to compete and find out where we're at and build off it. Because, again, if we want to have some success at the end of the season, we've got to, again, have that moving. And like I said, just see what happens, and hopefully our kids keep building and moving. So we'll see what happens, and it'll be just that one. It'll be kind of nice that way.
All right. Well, best of luck on that cross-country meet on Thursday, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning.
Sounds good.
John Cherb on cross-country. We'll take this break and be talking girls' tennis with Dr. Brant Hacker after this.
The Madison Chiropractic Center is open Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Tuesday and Thursday, 8 to noon. Dr. Clint Bond offers the latest in chiropractic care. Call for an appointment, 320-598-3089. That's 320-598-3089 for the Madison Chiropractic Center. There's no need to travel far for professional chiropractic treatment. You'll find it right downtown Madison, Minnesota. See Dr. Clint Bond at the Madison Chiropractic Center, 508 West 4th Street, just east of Madison City Hall.
It's time to bug out in the best way possible. Box Elder Bug Days in Mineota is this weekend, and City Hall Bar and Grill is crawling with fun all week. Hey, it's fall. Our Bug Days celebration at City Hall Bar and Grill starts Tuesday with craft making and wine tasting. Singo is Wednesday. Thursday, we're hosting traveling trivia and karaoke. And Friday night, we're hosting the band Whiskey Rich. For more information on our Bug Days activities, find us on Facebook at City Hall Bar and Grill. Come for the food, stay for the fun.
Celebrate the tradition of fair fun at the Little Minnesota State Fair, the Lackawanna County Fair in Madison, September 4th through the 7th. There will be $2,400 in cash drawings, all kinds of entertainment for you. On Thursday at Senior Citizens Day, free main gate admission all day for senior citizens. The Floras perform at 1 p.m., awards presentation at 2:30, white sidewalls at 6:30 on Thursday evening. All during the Little Minnesota State Fair, the Lackawanna County Fair, September 4th through the 7th. Check it out online at lqpfair.com. Come on over for the fun.
Back to the Culture Show, talking girls tennis with Dr. Hacker. Just the one event this past week, Doctor.
Yeah, things slowed down a lot for us. We hosted Melrose this past Tuesday, so we had one match actually. So we're kind of back to the school schedule of one or two matches a week now most of the time.
Okay, and the results.
Yeah, we ended up playing Melrose. We pulled out a tight win, 4-3.
Okay.
We had a few matches that, honestly, it could have ended up either way. We had three different three-setters. Alexis Olsen lost a close one at one singles. She won the first set 7-5 and then ended up grabbing the next two. Maya Virgie ended up winning at two singles for us, and Reese Kuzman at three singles. Both of them pulled out wins. They both had very tight matches. Maya played a three-setter, won the first set 7-6, winning in a tiebreaker, lost the second set 6-3, and then won with, a third set tiebreaker 7-6, pulled out a really nice match there, played some really nice points. And then Greta Hacker at four singles ended up losing a tough match 6-4, 6-1 there. Molly Halverson and Cameron Olson are the one doubles team for us. Played a three-setter, won the first set 7-6, again winning in a tiebreaker. Dropped the second set 6-0, just kind of came off, wheels kind of came off there for a little bit. But then were able to regroup and played a 7-5 win in the third set, so they did a nice job. Bree Borstad, Aiden Bond, again kind of close. First set tiebreaker went our direction 7-6, and the second set 6-4. Bree and Aiden have really been playing well together. We're picking up quite a few points at our two doubles position. They've been very solid that way. So congrats to them for another good match actually. And then Riley Clark and Kenna McTighe, our third doubles team. We have days where things just aren't going. You're doing the right things, you're moving your feet, getting your racket back, et cetera, but they just struggled. They picked up a 6-1 loss at three doubles. They just felt like they really weren't really, clicking that day. And then Macy Moan and Vanessa Piatter is kind of our fourth doubles, are the exhibition doubles team, and they picked up a win for us as well. So, that was the Melrose match, 4-3 us. Again, it was close, probably could have gone either way, but it was nice to get that win for the gals there.
Well, that's for sure. And
yeah. To
play on the home courts, that's even a plus.
Oh, that is a sweet deal. The drive to Melrose is a long one. Oh. So it was nice. We've been doing it the last few years. So hosting them was a treat. So that was nice to just be at home. And they had the two-hour drive home instead of us for a change.
Yeah, that's right.
Great.
And having all those courts in the back of the school, a lot of people drive by and see, know that there's a tennis match, but you got to go around the school, either by the high school office or go around by the auxiliary gym, and then you'll see those new courts back there, and they're beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. It's you know, we're back there. You can't catch us off the highway anymore. We're definitely not near with that.
Right.
But you know, we're in the northeast corner. Yeah, we're back there exactly. But it's a great viewing area between the courts. Very nice area to watch tennis, play tennis. Yeah.
Okay. So, what do you have next week?
So coming up, this we will be traveling to Benson on Tuesday.
Okay.
They've got a new coach, Gracie Lenz. She used to be a doubles player actually for them. 5-6 years ago, and now she's teaching there, and she's the new coach. Brock Duncan retired, so they've got a new person. And then we will be hosting Morris on Thursday. Morris has got really good numbers. They've got about 45-50 kids out this year, 7 through 12. Yeah, so good for them. But they're going to be bringing 16 players down on Thursday, and we'll host them at our courts on that. So hopefully, it looks to be some pretty good matches this week. We're hoping we can, you know, be competitive with both of those and see how, try to hopefully get them to go our direction.
All right. Well, thanks for the report this morning. Best of luck on those two events. We'll hear all about it next Saturday morning.
Okay. Thanks, Dick. Appreciate it.
Dr. Brant Hacker on girls tennis. We'll have a volleyball report after this.
At Sandhill Mill, we believe the best meals start with the finest ingredients, grown local, milled fresh, and crafted with care. Our stone-ground flours and mixes bring out the flavor you'll taste in every bite. Whether you're baking bread, whipping up pancakes, or making your grandma's favorite recipe, Sandhill Mill flour makes it better. Specializing in ancient and heritage grains, we have many different wheat varieties to supply flour or wheat berries for all your baking needs. Visit us online at sandhillmill.com to shop our selection of products so you can nourish like you mean it.
See a movie at the Grand in Madison showing Friday, August 29th through Monday, September 1st in Theater One. It's the Superman movie, the new Superman movie rated PG-13. Sketch was to start on Friday at the Grand in Madison. That'll be starting on September 12th instead. Naked Gun will be held over for one more weekend. So Naked Gun will be showing along with Superman this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, 7 o'clock at the Grand in Madison. Sketch will be starting on September 12th.
I've been feeling so stressed, but I don't want to burden anyone.
I'm overwhelmed, and I don't know where to get support.
My brother's struggling, and I'm not sure how to help.
Mental Health Minnesota is here every day with free confidential support, resources, and screenings. You're not alone. Visit mentalhealthmn.org to get help for yourself or someone you care about. Paid for by Mental Health Minnesota, aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Ludvigson Tile is proud to be a part of the local ag economy. Every year, we install over 100 water management systems made from quality Prinsco pipe for farmers all across our region. By managing water on fields, we help them maximize yields, decrease soil erosion, and grow healthier, more resilient crops. Ludvigson Tile is accepting projects for the spring and fall tiling seasons. Visit ludvigsontiling.com or give us a call today at 320-226-7022.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Let's talk Lacapaire Valley Volleyball. I can't talk this morning, Amber, with Head Coach Amber Lee of the Eagles. Good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
Yep. I got to learn to speak well here. I stumbled over my words. Sorry. Hey, so what was the experience like having your first varsity volleyball match this week as head coach?
Very nerve-wracking. It brought me back to my high school days when I was stepping on the court, you know, to play a big match. And, I get nervous. I get really nervous. So a couple of sleepless nights, and I know it's only high school volleyball, but, you know, it means a lot to me and it means a lot to the girls. So.
Okay. All right. Well, just one match to talk about, and that was a home match, right?
Yep.
All right. Tell us all about it.
We played CGB, and we lost in three. Each set, we got a little more comfortable on the court, a little bit more competitive, and, you know, our third set went 23-25. So I was super impressed with the girls and just the way they came together as a team, and everybody stayed positive, and we just kept battling back, so.
Yeah, CGB, Clinton Graceville Beardsley, they have a pretty good volleyball team, don't they? They have a lot of returners, I think.
Yeah, they lost a little bit last year, but yeah, they still were strong on the court. So
yeah, all right. The set scores, and you have some stats there in front of you, Amber.
Yep, I got some stats here. We lost the first one 25-9. Set 2 was 25-20, and set 3 was 25-23. So like I said, we kept improving each match, and yeah, hope to keep that going.
Okay. All right. How about some stats on that match and with Clint Grace supposedly?
Yep. For kills, Abby Anlin had 8. Kelly Kahn had 5. Carson Whitnable had 5. Sophia Leah had 1. Faith Meyer had 2. And Maya Swatsky had 1. Set assists were Maya Swatsky had 14. Marley Ludvigsen had 3. Ashton Shelstead had 1. Faith Meyer had 1. And Peyton Sachs had 1. And we had 4 ace serves, and they came from 3 from Maya Mortensen and 1 from Maya Swatsky. And our solo block came from Callie Kahn. And then we had really nice back role play, several digs here. So Peyton Sachs had 8, Maya Swatsky had 9, Ashton Shelstead had 15, Marley Ludvigsen had 10, Abby Amland had 4, Callie Kahn had 1, and Maya Mortensen had 11.
Okay. All right. So what were you pleased with during the match against Clinton Graceville Beardsley, and what things do you think you need to work on?
Super impressed with our back row. So I read them names down there. I'm sure you noticed that a lot of them are younger girls. So Ashton Shelstead played libero for us last night and did an amazing job for only being in 8th grade. I also had Maya Mortensen back there, who was only in 9th grade. So I was just super impressed with them, and the more comfortable they got, the better their passes got, and, you know, just kept the team going. Mm-hmm. So we had a little work to do in our front row. Just getting a little bit more comfortable, and, you know, having 2 shutters on the floor made it a little different than in the past. So working on that, and yeah, just being more aggressive at the net.
Okay. How'd the JV do and the other teams? Do you know off the top of your head there, Amber?
Yep. JV won 1 and lost 2. So, and everybody, we're all new on the court. I feel like our team has not really played together. We only got a couple returning starters that have had any varsity experience or JV experience. So it's going to take us a couple matches to really get into the groove of things and learn to play next to each other.
Yeah. When I was out there at practice the other day, Amber, I was really impressed with the gym was full of girls. You got some good numbers out.
Yeah, we got 52 girls and 7-12.
Wow.
So it keeps us all on our toes.
Yep. All right, what's up next for the Eagles this week then?
Tuesday we play Benson in Benson, and Thursday we are in Hancock.
Okay. All right, so we got 2 matches to talk about, and anything else that you want to mention, or we cover everything there?
I think I'm good.
All right. Hey, let's talk about your daughter, Jalen, who's playing college volleyball. I mentioned this last week on the Coach's Show. Amber, you're head coach of the Eagles, and your daughter's first-year college volleyball player. How's Jalen doing? Tell our listeners where she's at.
Yep. She is playing college volleyball for Crown College in St. Bonifacius. We're actually at St. Ben's today in St. Joseph, Minnesota, watching her play her actual first match. They had a scrimmage on Tuesday, but this is their actually first match, and they just finished up their first set. Okay. So
she liking it?
She is, and she's getting to play, so that was her. She wanted to go and she wanted to contribute right away.
Right.
So that was her choice by choosing Crown. And
good.
She's getting to do that, and it's fun to watch her play again.
Yeah, well, that keeps you and your husband on your toes then. A lot of travel, a lot of time volleyball this fall.
Yep, it is, and I wouldn't want it any other way.
Okay. All right, Amber, thanks for the time, and we'll talk. Good luck this week in Benson on Tuesday, and Hancock, is that at home or on the road, did you say?
It's on the road, too. Yep.
Okay. 2 road games. Okay.
Yep.
All right. We'll talk to you next Saturday then, Amber.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
Yep. Amber Lee, head coach of the Lacapra Valley volleyball team. We'll take a break. Come back with more of the Coach's Show right after this.
All right, race fans, come on out. Season championship night this Monday night at Madison Speedway. All 7 classes in action and a 6:00 start time. I'd like to thank this week's sponsors, Madison Bottling, for sponsoring season championship night this Monday night, Labor Day night, here at Madison Speedway. The green flag flies at 6:00, and I'm Scotty Iona, and we'll see you at the track.
Watch Prairie Sportsman airing Sunday nights at 7:30 on Pioneer Public Television. Join host Brett Amundson and adventure into the world of outdoor sports and the science of natural resource restoration. Top it off with a toast to local artists, cooks, and brewers. That's Prairie Sportsman, Sunday nights, 7:30 on Pioneer PBS.
Back here at the radio station, we got a few minutes that we could probably talk, Paul, back and forth about the history of the radio station here and
the culture show.
Yeah, 43 years.
Yeah. Dwayne and I are broadcasting a Dawson game last night. We mentioned the coach's show and how long you've been doing this, Dick. You've been doing it since day one. What year was that, do you think, back in when Madison High School was?
Well, whatever, 43 years.
Early 80s.
Yeah, and then we did Millbank Station before that and Montevideo before that. So, yeah.
How did you get on the Millbank Station? Do you remember?
Tim McNamara and I, somebody went over to Millbank and talked to them, and they said, yeah, we could do that, but they gave us 7 minutes. We're up in Dave Nibby's office and unscrew the
telephone receiver,
the telephone receiver, and put in a couple clips, and away we'd go. And you know, 7 minutes, we didn't know how long or how we could talk that long. And I know Bob Monty got about halfway through introducing his team, and we heard religious music in our background. They cut us off right there, so we didn't stay with Millbank too long. And then we went down to the bowling alley and the hotel.
Then weren't you on the Monty stage, Katie May, for a while?
Yeah, and just the fall sports, I think.
Oh, okay.
They talked to us there.
Maynard and Terry built a station in Madison. You were on day one from there then. Right?
That's for sure, yeah.
Who was running the board back in the day then?
Oh, BB. BB was.
Oh.
Yeah.
And where were they? You had to go out to the trailer or on Main Street, all the different locations?
Yeah, we had a different location. That county road north of town in the wintertime, I had to walk through knee-deep or hip-deep snow a couple times to get to the trailer to...
That's when the radio station was out by the tower.
By the tower, yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you had to walk from the road, huh?
Yeah. And then a couple times here in town in the wintertime, I couldn't get out of my garage, and I walked down here. And I know one time got a ride home. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've been doing the... I think you probably got the longest coaches show running by anybody in the state of Minnesota right now. That's pretty awesome.
Well, yeah.
And you've seen a lot of coaches throughout the years, haven't you?
Oh, for sure. And they've all been, I mean, at first they're all nervous, you know, but it's just like you and I talking right now.
Right.
And then sometimes they tell me a coach that's not proud of his team, we'd have to cut him off a little bit because they're talking so long. But
it must have been fun at the bowling alley. You go in there and they have a little restaurant type thing there, and with coffee and donuts and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And then across the street at the old hotel next to the barber shop, you know, we'd sit there and talked a little bit, and then people would come in and listen to us. And across the street in the Vondhar building too, and then over to the bowling alley. So.
Okay. Awesome. Well, let's keep it going for a few more years anyway, right?
Well.
Still, we're both above ground. That's the main thing. So.
That's right. And I do my sick joke of the weeks, but I didn't have time.
One, didn't bring one today.
No,
huh?
We got home pretty late last night.
That's
after
Annandale. Right,
so,
right.
Yeah. So.
All right.
Okay. We'll be on next week, Paul.
Okay. And you don't have to play a sport to be one? Or?
Yeah. Danny Smith did that at St. Cloud State on the campus radio. And he said, just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.